Well, praise God. God is good. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, this morning I was kind of thinking about what the Lord would want me to share today. And, I kind of felt like he wanted me to go back and share something that I shared a while back. And I'm going to share it again, but he had me add a few things to it. So I'm going to go back over it again. And I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. You are the only one worth any of it, Father. Thank you for your spirit, and thank you for your love. And I thank you most of all, Father, that you know the need that everyone has. And I ask you to just let this little word minister to someone's heart, whether it's in the church here or out on the internet or whatever it is, because I know there's some reason that you had me go back to this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And the title to the sermon is The Power of God's Words. My nose is about to itch off. I got allergies. So kind of bear with me if I scratch my nose a little bit. Not running, but it's just itching. Praise the Lord. You're supposed to get a bunch of money or something? Anybody got a bunch of money they want to give me, I'll take it. That's what that means. I know them old sayings sometimes people say. Praise God. First scripture I've got here is Luke 5, 4 and 5. Luke shared the experience of a fisherman who toiled all night without reward. Their fail was perfectly honorable. They were not embarrassed and simply weary in the fact that left their boats by the edge of the lake and were washing their nets when Jesus appeared and he sat in one of the boats and taught those who gathered. Afterward, he said to Simon, in whose boat he was sitting, "Put out unto the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing." And you know, sometimes in life, our efforts, we put a lot of effort into things, and guess what? Nothing happens. But you know, the neat thing about it is one word from Jesus and things turn around. And and Peter told him to go out into the deep. And you know, and Peter was not ashamed. It was not his fault that he had failed. He was not an amateur fisherman demonstrating a new gear. Peter was, and his companions were professional fishing. And that was their business. Knowing that they had failed, Jesus did not criticize or encourage them to try again in deep water. The catch was phenomenal. And Peter exclaimed, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And you know, sometimes it takes a revelation of God to to really shake you up. And that's what was taking place here. And you know, but at God's word, things happen. No matter what it is, when he speaks, things change. And you know, a visitor was at an electrical plant one time, and he asked the chief engineer, "Where do you store the electricity?" "We don't store it," the engineer replied. "We make it." When a light switch is flipped on the literal places a demand on the system, and it registers at the generating plant and prompt greater outputs. You know, the output gets greater. You know, God's grace and power likewise cannot be stored, though inexhaustible. They come in measure required at the moment of need. And you know, God is always ready to meet a need. And if you have a need sometimes, you have to realize that sometimes the reason you don't get your need met is because you don't ask. And you know, I've heard people say in times past that they were upset because someone didn't discern that they had a need. Well, you know, sometimes you're supposed to tell someone when you have a need. And sometimes we just expect people to do things that they aren't really capable of doing unless God gives them the ability to do that. You know, a couple years ago I was teaching in Zechariah, and Zechariah's name literally means that Jah has remembered, or God has remembered. You know, in verse 2 it says this in Zechariah, it's 4, 2, and 3, it says, "And he said to me, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see, behold, a lampstand, all of gold with its bowls for oil on the top, and has seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side of the bowl, feeding continuously with oil.'" And I like the way it says in the Amplified Bible about that same scripture. It says it this way. It said, "And then he said unto me, 'This addition of the bowl of the candlestick caused it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees.'" Is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts." You know, the power of prayer has never been tried to its full capacity in any church. If we want to see mighty wonders and divine powers and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let the whole church answer God's standing challenge. "Call on me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And you know, sometimes we don't call on the Lord. We call on the doctor, we call on everybody but the Lord. We call on the mechanic, we call on everything. We call on the next door neighbor. You know, we call on everybody but the Lord. But I tell you what, it's time for us to begin to call on the Lord in all situations and in all circumstances. You know, the difference between us nowadays and people during the Bible days, they didn't have the wherewithal that we have today. They didn't have the ability to get places and go and do things fast and to get help a lot of times as quickly as we can. But I tell you what, it doesn't make any difference. A lot of times we don't see miraculous things because we don't call upon the name of the Lord. We go to him last. I remember this story that my mother told me concerning a friend of hers. And they used to have prayer meetings at my house when I was a kid. And her name was Christine. And Christine had a husband. His name was Ralph. And Ralph had sugar diabetes really bad. And Christine said she was with him one time, and he had, I don't know if he had an insulin reaction or whatever it was, but anyway, he passed out and went down on the floor. She tried doing all different kind of things to try to revive him, you know, and apparently everything that she was doing wasn't working. And then she said all of a sudden she heard the voice of the Lord say, "Why don't you try me?" And you know what? She said that the minute that she began to pray for him, he snapped right out of that thing. And you know, I feel like in this day and age, to a certain extent, we've become numb to calling on God in every situation, in every circumstance. And we're going to have to stop doing that. And I believe in this day and age, we're going to have to begin to start looking to him first instead of looking to him last. And I think there's a lot of things that will begin to happen, a lot of mighty things and a lot of powerful things. In Psalm 61:11 it says, "And God spoke once, and twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." And you know, there's nothing too hard for God, but we need to go there first in all situations. You know, a visitor was once walking along a high part of the shore of the Dead Sea when he lost his balance and fell into the water. He could not swim, and in desperation, lest he sink and be drowned. He began to fling his arms about, and at last he was totally exhausted. And when he was exhausted, he felt that he could do it no more. Then he found out something that he had not known. The water caused him to float. You see, the water of the Dead Sea is so heavy with salt and other minerals that when he lay still in it, he found that he floated to the surface. And he could not drown as long as he resigned himself to the power of the deep. And so it is with us. There is a power beneath us, around us, and I'm going to say it's in us too. You know, that most important thing is waiting to bear us up. We should cease from all of our flounderings and fruitless efforts and let the power of God undergird us. Truth will endure to all generations, so speak the word only. Whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things, speak life, and you will eat of the fruit of life. Galatians 3:22 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says this, the death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you love life, you'll eat the fruit of life. If you love death, you're going to eat the fruit of death. And you know, I'll say this to you. Are you willing to launch out into the deep? Are you willing to to do what the Lord tells you to do, when he tells you to do, and how he tells you to do it? I'm going to tell you, sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we try to question God, and we try to reason with God about things that are happening around us, when what we really need to do is just relax and just acknowledge him and let ourselves float to the top, because that's exactly what will happen. Because he's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. We don't ever have to worry about, you know, anything overcoming us. It won't overcome us because it can't overcome him. You know, I love in the Old Testament the times when the enemies would gather and were going to attack Israel. And a lot of times, what would they do? They'd send out the praisers first. They sent them out first. Now nowadays, if there was terrorists outside and you told all the musicians in here, hey, you guys go out first, I'm not sure that all of them would want to go out there. But I'm going to tell you what, the praisers in Israel, they went out first. And you know, he inhabits the praises of his saints. And if we'll praise him and if we'll acknowledge him, there's no enemy, there's no foe that can overcome us. There's nothing that can defeat us, because we can walk in the victory of the Lord. And when you walk in his victory, you're going to win every time, you know. And so many times, you know, even in situations that we find ourselves when someone, you know, passes out or something happens to them or whatever, we need to step up and begin to proclaim God's authority and God's power in situations, especially when we feel the Lord is urging us on to do that. You know, I think a lot of times we rely too much on the things of the world rather than looking to the Lord. You know, I've talked about Clarice Fluitt different times, but when she was here, I love what she said when she went to her first big meeting. She went to this big meeting, and she said she always believed back then that women weren't supposed to minister in a church, you know, to men. And she said, she had been invited to this meeting, and they were going to ordain some ministers. And she said she was sitting on the platform with all these big muckety-muck guys, you know, from the churches. And she said, she told the pastor, she says, the guy who was running the whole thing, she says, well, I can't get up and speak. And he says, no, you'll be fine, you know. And he said that in the interim, what happened with him is that all of a sudden he started choking and he fell down and he died. And she said, all of the ministers gathered around him and they pronounced him dead. I mean, they pronounced him dead. They said the paramedics showed up and they pronounced him dead. And she said that the Holy Spirit spoke to her and says, go over there and raise him up. And she said, I thought, well, Lord, I've never done this before. And he said, and the Lord said to her, and act like you've done it before.
Amen. Amen.
And she said, she went over and she cast the spirit of death off of him and said, all of a sudden he started coughing and he was okay. She said right after that, and I love this, and this is like God, this is the way God does stuff. She said right after that, she got all kinds of invitations to come and minister places, you know. And she said, and the Lord wouldn't let me take a one of them. Because they were only calling me because of what they had seen. And she said, you know, she learned right away that God was the source. And, you know, we all have to get to that place, folks, where God is the source, where he's the first place we go to first, not last, but first. And, you know, so many times I know in my own life, you know, I've had to call on the Lord to help me in a lot of situations. And you know what? He's never failed me in any of them. He's always been there. And he is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he is that one that will never leave you nor forsake you. You know why? Because he's right inside of you. His spirit's right inside of you. And when you come to realize that, you quit looking for a God out there somewhere and start acknowledging Christ in you being the hope of glory. And start acknowledging that his presence is with you all the time, whether you feel it or you don't feel it, whether you see it or you don't see it, it's there. And you know, we're going to have to get a complete different mindset in life, because if we don't, then I tell you what, we're going to be in trouble. You know, I had another thing up here, and I'm going to read this to you. But you know, I told you all that the best piece of advice that I ever got from anybody was from my mother when she said, when she found out that the Lord, I had gotten saved at home, and she found out, and the Lord was hiding it from her, and I was riding to work with her every day, and I didn't feel like I was supposed to tell her anything. And then she I was up at her house on a Sunday eating dinner one time, and she says to me, what's going on with you? She says, and mother was very, very sensitive in the spirit. I mean, to the point where, and I've said this before, me and Margaret would be fussing. We lived about a mile down the road from her. And me and Margaret would be fussing, and we'd get a phone call, and she'd say, I was in praying, and the Lord brought you two before me. What's going on down there? Nothing, mother, nothing. Everything's fine. You know, I'd lie, you know. But, you know, that happened different times. But she was very sensitive, but God hid it from her. That you know, that he was dealing with me. And I told her, I said, I gave my life to the Lord. And she says, oh, she says, God totally hid that from me. And she says, and I know why. She says, so I'd keep my hands off of it. And you know, sometimes that's what we need to do. Even in some of our children's lives at times, when God's dealing with them, keep your hands off. Let God do what he's going to do. He knows exactly. I mean, if he tells you to do something, you do it. But if he doesn't, you keep your hands off and let him do it. He can do it much better than you can. And anyway, you know, so here's what she said to me. She said, son, she said, I'm willing to give you one piece of advice. She said, learn to know God for yourself. Nobody else can know him for you. And I said, well, okay. And that's what I was already doing, you know. And, you know, I'm going to read you this little story here, and this is called Milk Your Own Cow, okay? And in this little story, Patrick was an Irish Catholic who for years had longed for assurance of peace with God. A visiting tourist who fell into conversation with him left him a copy of the New Testament, the Dornay version, approved by the officials of his church. Through reading this, Pat had been brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and from that time on read and studied his testament with eagerness, ever seeking to deepen knowledge of the things of God. The parish priest who had missed him from the regular services called on him one day and found him deep in study of the Word. "Pat," he said, "what's this book that you're reading?" "Sure, Your Reverence," was the reply. "It's the New Testament." In horrified accents, the priest exclaimed, "The New Testament? Why, Pat, that's not a book for the likes of you. You'll be getting all kinds of wild notions from reading it, and will be running off into heresy." "But Your Reverence," demonstrated Pat, "I've just been reading it here. It's blessed, the blessed Apostle Peter himself wrote it, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." And sure, it's newborn babe in Christ I am, and it's milk of the Word I'm after, so I can't see the harm in reading the Testament. "Ah," said the priest, "it's perfectly true, Patrick, that you need the milk of the Word, but the Almighty has appointed the clergy to be the milkman. The clergy go to college and to seminary, and they learn the meaning of the words, and when the people come to church, we give it to them as they are able to bear it and explain it in the way that they won't misunderstand." "Well, sure, Your Reverence," said Pat. "You know, I kept a cow of me own, he says. He was Irish. "Kept a cow of my own out there in the barn. And when I was sick some time ago, I had to hire a man to milk that cow. And I soon found out that he was stealing half the milk and filling the bucket up with water. And sure, it was awful weak milk I was getting. But now that I'm well again, I have let him go, and I'm milking my own cow. And so it's the rich cream I'm getting once more. And Your Reverence, when I was dependent on you for the milk of the Word, sure it was the bluey watery stuff you were giving me. But now I'm milking my own cow and enjoying the cream and the Word all the time." Wow, what a revelation. But you know what? Sometimes we have to realize, we have to realize, like Patrick, you got to milk your own cow. When it comes to the Lord, that's like, brothers and sisters here, and I've told you this for years, don't get your eyes on Oscar. Keep your eyes on the Lord. If you keep your eyes on the Lord, you'll get the right answers from him. That doesn't mean he won't use me or won't use other people in the church or other people you come in contact in life. Don't depend on other people to give you the Word. The word of God is in you. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will divide asunder between joint and marrow and soul and spirit. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And as long as you keep seeking after him, you're going to always get the milk of the Word, and you'll be milking your own cow. You don't have to have somebody else milk your cow with watered down milk. And I just want you to know, that's why I so encourage people to study themselves, to spend time alone with the Lord, to get quiet and still. You know, I know when I first got saved, and I was talking about this a little bit back in Sunday school, when I first got saved, I didn't go to church for months, and it was probably about 4 or 5 months. But I tell you what, I got into the Word, and I started reading the Bible, and I didn't even have a Bible. I was borrowing Margaret's Bible. She had one of those white presentation Bibles because she was the church girl and I wasn't. I wasn't the church person. She was. She went to church some. But she had some bad experiences at church too, because sometimes just because people go to church don't mean that they're good folk. Sometimes they're not good folk. But anyway, I would read a section of the New Testament. I started out in the New Testament, and I'd read something, and I'd stick my finger, after I read maybe a chapter or something, stick my finger in there and hold it there, close my eyes and say, Lord, you got to teach me. You got to lead me. You got to guide me. I don't know what I just read. And I'm going to tell you what, he started opening things up and unfolding things to me that I didn't hear preached for probably 15 or 20 years after that, when I started going to church. He started showing me the sovereignty of God. He started showing me the things about sonship. He started showing me the things about, just many, many things. I mean, you know, he just kept showing me things and showing me things. And you know what? Later on, people like Ray Prinzing or somebody come through and start preaching about the sovereignty of God. And I'm going to tell you, as good a preacher as Brother Eddie was, sometimes he struggled with that for a long time before he received it. And I know as I started teaching it when to the people in the congregation years and years ago, I had people that had the roughest time. But I tell you what, when you read Isaiah 45 and you don't think he's in control, you better read Isaiah 45 and read it real close. He's in control of everything. And he's a sovereign God. And part of the word Lord means sovereign controller. He's a sovereign controller. He controls it all. But anyway, I just felt like I was supposed to read that today. So I'm going to tell you, milk your own cow. If God allows me to squeeze on the thing to get you a little bit of milk once in a while, that's fine. But make sure it's the milk of the Word and not watered down, because I'm not going to water it down, because I'm going to tell you that he's in control. He's sovereign. He's called you to be kings and priests unto him. He's called you to move into the Melchizedek priesthood order, which the Melchizedek priesthood order in the Old Testament was an order of blessing. And we're to bless and curse not. We're called to help set creation free. And I tell you what, if you read Romans the 8th chapter, you know that it says in Romans the 8th chapter that all creation's groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hello, sons of God. That's who you are. Waiting for us to grow up enough to set creation free. Waiting for us to grow up enough to minister to them the true word of life. And not only just in word, but in demonstration of power and anointing. And it's coming, Lord. It's coming, guys. It's coming. If you'll just be obedient to the things he tells you to do. But if you don't do the little things, he's not going to let you do the big things. And the scripture tells you not to despise the day of small things. Because I tell you what, a lot of churches just try to entertain you and just, you know, get you to hoopla and all that. We're going to try to teach you the word. We're going to try to teach you that God is in control. He's got you in the palm of his hand. No man can pluck you out of that. And the sooner you realize that, the more at peace that you can be. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And I just want to, if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. You know, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. I ask you, Father, we're supposed to desire the sincere milk of the word, whereby that we might grow. And after we grow to a certain point, you'll give us the meat of the word. And you're giving us a little meat mixed in with milk here and there. And Father, I just want you to know that we appreciate, because you are the bread that came down from heaven. Thank you for what you're doing. I ask you to bless everybody here. And I ask you to meet all the needs that they have here today. And I give you all the praise and glory, and I believe that you're going to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.